Anyway, great to have your company. I just can't believe how significant this week is. Taylor Swift.
Oh. I wonder where you'll go with that.
Wait for it.
Okay.
Taylor Swift is performing in Sydney, having warmed up in Melbourne. And Taylor Swift's favourite number is 13.
13.
Happy anniversary, Stephen.
There you go.
See how I got there?
Thank you very much. Yeah, that's nice. But you know what? I thought we were friends, mate. You've forgotten something.
What did I forget?
Last week. I was waiting to get a little message.
Okay.
It was my birthday last week. Last Friday. Everyone else messaged me except for Trev. I thought we were friends.
Hang on, in my defence.
You were driving to the country.
No, that's not my defence.
Okay.
Not my defence. Yeah. It is actually my defence.
You missed my birthday, mate.
No, I mentioned it last week. Oh, I said to you off air,
I said
it's your birthday this weekend. Yes, we talked about it.
Okay, you referred to it. But okay, all right.
I failed far out. What a smashing this is.
Didn't get a message.
Wow.
I said to Jo, I said, Trevor has a message ring. She goes, really? I said, she goes, aren't you friends? I said, of course we are. So I said, you know what? I'm going to bring it up on the podcast and see how he feels about that.
I'm pretty gutted, I'll be honest.
But that's all good, mate.
Because it's in my diary.
I had a great day, by the way. I had a really nice day. It was on a Saturday, my birthday. So it was lunch and dinner.
That's also my defence.
Family. It was great. Yeah.
Because, look, in my diary, Stephen Fenwick birthday. It's an all-day event. Like, it's in my diary.
Wow, okay.
But I don't look at my diary.
You were occupied
on a weekend normally.
You remembered our anniversary, but not my birthday. Sounds like a marriage, doesn't it? It's usually the other way around. You remember the birthday, forget the anniversary.
This is unbelievable. I just can't believe it. Am I ever going to be able to recover, or are you going to bring this up forever?
No, you're good, mate. No.
You're going to bring this up forever?
No, mate.
You're going to bring this up forever, aren't you?
One and done, mate.
One and done.
I will not mention it again until next year if you forget.
Hang on. Just talk amongst yourself.
Trev's birthday is December the 14th.
Okay, yes, it is.
Is that yours, 14th?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Stephen's birthday is on a Monday in 2025.
Are you going to set an alarm?
Stephen's birthday.
Is on a Monday, really? Oh, because it's a leap year. That's right. It misses a day because it's Saturday this year, so it'll be Monday next year.
Stephen, I'm just putting it in my whole day. It's several meetings. I'm just putting meeting after meeting so that I don't forget.
And it's on a Monday. All right. You're already ahead, 2025. Stephen, why don't you go 2026 while you're at it, mate?
I could make these recurring events.
Yeah,
okay.
Yearly.
Doesn't annual. Repeat. Does repeat.
You say yearly?
Annually.
Annually.
Boom,
wow.
Mate. It's happening. Mate, I will never forget again.
There you go, mate. There you go.
I feel horrible.
No, it's all good, mate.
In my defense.
I cried myself to sleep that night, but that's okay. That's all
right. I'm just not a birthday person.
Mm.
So in our family.
What, in your family, your kids don't get any presents on their birthday?
No, they do because we're obviously the kids. But
yeah.
I wouldn't know. Like I know my mum's birthday and I'll ring my mum on her birthday. Yeah. I don't ring my brother or sister on their birthday.
Don't you? No. I do.
Okay, congratulations.
We don't give each other gifts, but we say happy birthday.
So the birthday tradition in our family, which comes from Amanda's family, is when it's someone's birthday, like Amanda's mum, we will wait when all the kids are together, we'll put them on speakerphone, and when they answer the phone, they go, hello, we sing happy birthday.
Yeah, right, nice.
That's not something my family ever did. So it happens all the time, right?
Yep.
So I get back from Walker. Whenever I go to Mum's, she has bottles and cans all the time, obviously. So she does the return and earn, and she keeps the money and gives it to the kids.
Ah.
So she gives me $50 each for each of the kids.
Oh, wow.
And I give them a note. And then this is on Sunday night. And Amanda goes, we should ring Grandma. I said, well, not tonight because they're working. The pub's open.
Yeah.
Ring her tomorrow. This is the best ever. So Monday afternoon, Jacko's not home, but he has a late finish at school. So I said to the little ones, I said, let's ring Grandma.
Yep.
So Harry's in the other room. So I'm dialing. Harry, get in here.
Yeah.
So I ring up. Ring, 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 ring. And you hear this, hello. And I look at Harry and he goes, happy birthday. I went, no. He's just by default gone, oh, we're ringing a relative. It must be happy birthday
time.
Wow,
that's funny.
And I'm never going to let him live that down because it was so funny. So funny. And then it was awkward. Then I'm like, you have to say thank you for the money.
Thanks for the cash.
And he goes, thank you.
Yeah.
Like, oh, good
thanks,
on you, buddy.
Thanks, Grandma, for the money.
He couldn't. Oh, it was so funny.
See, my parents gave all their grandkids, they set up a bank account.
Mm-hmm.
For each of their grandkids.
Yep.
Put $100 a year in it.
Yep.
So gave them a gift on the day.
Yeah.
But put $100 away. And so when they turned 18, they round it up to 2K and give him 2K for their 80th birthday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, Amanda's granddad was doing that. He's passed since, but he was doing that because I got a bloody bank statement yesterday for Harry, Master Harry Long. I opened up, there's a bit of money in there.
Giddy up.
I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Let's transfer this over the offset account. And he goes, well, it's a long story, but it'll save Dad a bit of cash.
Save Dad some interest, yeah.
That's what I did to Jacko. I'm like, mate, let's just take the bulk of your savings. I'll keep them over here.
Yeah.
Because that's
when
it's
you
a bit
need
of
them.
It's good money and it is helping off Daddy's mortgage.
Yeah. I've got a question though about birthdays.
Yeah.
You know the day a baby's born? Right? The day a baby's born, right? Yeah. No one ever wishes that little baby a happy birthday. It's their birthday. You ever thought of that? I always, when all my kids were born, I wished them a happy birthday. It's the ultimate birthday, isn't it? So next time, folks, if you go see someone, newborn baby, wish them a happy birthday because it's their birthday. That's the day.
So yours, should I, if someone I know has a baby,
wish your
my text
kid a happy
message,
birthday.
Should it be
happy
not congratulations?
Little what's the name of the baby? Happy birthday, little Freddy or whatever the they call the baby. Yep. And then congrats. And wish little Freddy happy birthday.
Okay, I don't mind that.
That's that, do you reckon?
I really like
it's
that.
It's a birthday. Happy birthday. I always did that. Wish my kids a little happy birthday.
You are a poor, tragic soul.
And sing of happy birthday. When
so does your family, is that not just Amanda's family? Like others do that? Because I've never heard that in my life.
For newborn babies, that was sort of something that I remembered. But I remembered when Aaron was born, we gave Jacqueline a little present from the baby. And we said, let's wish him happy birthday. It's his birthday. And you getting the present.
Mm.
So, it's their birthday, isn't it?
Anyway, back to the point. Taylor Swift's favourite number is 13. It has been 13 years since we started this absolute gibberish. And look at us now.
13 years.
You can literally look at us now, you poor bastard.
Still gibbering. Yeah. Has it told on us the 13 years?
Oh, I think so.
Should we do a post where 13 years ago, today, and there now? Or like 2011, 2024?
Nope.
Why not?
Because I didn't have a beard.
Mate, you looked 12 when you first started. Trevor looked 12 without his beard, and then he grew a beard, and it doesn't look 12 anymore.
Yeah, well, I'm clinging onto it to the point where I go, okay, one, I'm going to shave it off, and I go, oh, you look younger.
Yeah, why don't you do that?
I want to go 10 years
have
younger
one day.
Have
you ever thought of that? Would you do that?
I really, you know.
What would it take?
Here's what's going to happen.
Right.
I will shave the opening ceremony of the Olympics.
Which Olympics?
This year.
Paris.
Because I'm not going to be doing the Today Show for 2 weeks. They're going to be busy in Paris, right?
Of course,
So I figure that's 2 weeks off, to be honest. Like, right. I'm pretty much working on that concept.
Yeah. Okay. Have they told you that yet or?
No, but
you're assuming.
I'm pretty good programmer, so I know
I reckon
my stuff.
Shave, and then if they decide to do it, surprise.
Well, the good news is it's stubble anyway most of the time. And when this is long. So when I shave it down, it's like a number three. So it's probably only half a week or week.
Oh, so
of
you
anyway.
Actually sort of
trim?
You sort of thin it out a bit.
Yes.
Right. How often?
I don't know. Weekly, broadly.
Right. Yeah. Have you got a special thing to do that with, or like a
trimmer,
like a number three? You just give it a number three. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a beard trimmer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I'll shave if you remind me, because I forget.
I wonder if I grew a beard and did that, thinned it out, it'd still look pretty.
No,
solid.
No. See, it doesn't. Yours is just thick. Yeah. This just trims it down.
I've got the big choco beard.
Yeah, I'm definitely not saying that.
I got the big wog beard.
Okay, I'm definitely not saying that either.
Yeah, that's me, mate. Yeah.
Yeah, I've got the grey problem. Look at how grey it is down here.
In background,
it's just like,
mate. There's product for that, you know.
Yeah, no, but I've had this conversation with my hairdresser.
Yep.
And he's like, well, because he once did dye my hair.
Yep.
Okay. Just still grey.
Really?
You know, still grey.
Right?
Yeah, because it was a bet. Because my hairdresser is also Amanda's hairdresser.
Bet.
He said, I bet you she doesn't notice.
And
if she does, then if she does, you get your next haircut free.
And?
She didn't notice.
Boom.
No, but so
but
it was
on,
still
if she
gray.
Did notice you got the hair
something like that.
So she didn't, so it was pay up next time.
Okay. So it was still grey. It was just like a few steps back.
Blended in.
But
it's
I said,
blended.
Mate, and he goes through the beard. I said, mate, I'm gonna shave that.
Yeah.
Like and it grows just it's a stupid idea.
So it's
so if I dye up here, I've got to do here every third day.
You gotta be committed, mate.
That's I'm not committed.
You gotta be committed. So it's a no then to the 2011 v 2024 picture.
I mean, if you remember,
have we got a recent photo? We've got 400 recent photos together. We'll just use that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or at the end of the show, if we remember,
we'll do a
We'll have a quick look through our library and go see if there's one that we can find that we could broadly recreate.
All right.
All right?
Yep. I remember the one, and I think I remember where it was taken too. See how your memory is.
Mm-hmm.
I remember we took one of the very first photos together after we started podcasting at the, is it the automotive down at the Circular Quay? Remember the Royal Automotive Club? When we returned, had to return, I was driving the Ferrari, you were driving the Porsche. Remember that Nokia?
I remember Nokia? I remember that was 2011. I remember returning it there, though.
That was March 2011. So we'd just started podcasting. We were like episode two or three in.
I definitely don't have that photo. Yeah.
And that's the one of us together. That's the one of us standing. It's a deep photo. I've got it. It was taken at the RACV. Yeah.
Oh, I don't have it.
Yeah.
Well, we'll find that one.
Oh, we'll dig it out.
We'll find that tonight and then we'll recreate it for whatever purpose. Anyway, happy anniversary.
And likewise.
And thank you.
Happy 13th.
Thank you to everyone. Many of you who've been here since the get-go.
Yeah, true. Including our sponsors too. Sponsors have been around. Like Netgear's been here since day dot. Yeah. They've been around. Great supporters.
You've been listening to this rubbish for 13 years. You could have done some serious crime and be out on bail right now, out on parole. Like
maybe
you could have served some serious time.
You got a child that's not even as old as this podcast.
We're gonna find a photo that's older than my youngest child.
That's wild. I remember because she was he was born the first year, our first year.
So we started
in February. And what month was Harry born?
That's a great question. September 25. And we found out in March. I'm pretty sure March. So that makes sense.
Yeah. So right into the new podcast, you're thinking, great, can hopefully earn some income from this.
That was
idiot,
not what I was
from
thinking.
This mad nutty podcast I'm doing with this Fennec dude. I can maybe that'll help me offset the cost of another child.
I don't think even Amanda knew I was doing the podcast
till about year five.
Yeah. She thought it was all rubbish.
She thought it was we were just meeting, hanging out, drinking, going and having drinks or something.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what there she thought. We should. We still. It would be wild considering they've never met.
No.
It would be wild to sit Amanda and Joe down here while we sit over there and just open the mic.
Wow. Yeah, that's...
And just what they would ask each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
It could be super dangerous though.
Yeah.
Like the stuff they might okay. – the stuff Joe might know what's that Amanda like? Doesn't what's or more like? Importantly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. That could be risky. We'd be very nervous sitting over there. Be sweating bullets over there.
I'd be sweating more than bullets.
Yeah.
All right. Well, happy anniversary.
Welcome to Two Blokes Talking Tech.
Not a bad price.
With Trevor Long from EFTM.com.
Really handy device.
And Stephen Fennec from techguide.com.au.
It's a really handy device.
Really handy device. That was me, I said that. You're
pretty sure.
Yeah, I always say that. Yeah, and I get that still in comments. Oh, Stephen Fennec comment, handy device. Stephen Fennec comment. I'll never live that one down. It's funny. I don't mind.
Episode 621, which is a wild thing to think, 621 of these.
Yeah. And did you think back then, 13 years ago, this is going to last
13 years? I don't want to take credit for it, but I did start the numbering system with 001.
Okay.
So that does that does tell me that I don't think we're going to get to 1,000.
Yeah. You should have started with 0001, then, eh?
That'd just be a bit extreme, really.
So 1,000, that's another 10 years, 1,000. Wow. That's a long
what
way.
What do we commit to? 20 years.
20 years.
We committed
so
to 20 years.
So another 7. Would we get to 1,000 by then?
No.
Another 7 years?
No.
And in 7 years, what happens then? Do we have to sort of renegotiate our contract?
Yeah,
or what?
Of course. Yeah.
Really? Contract.
Someone said that to me today about someone that I work for, a media outlet, and they go, "Oh, you've got a contract with them?" No,
handshake. Hello,
not even that.
Yeah,
it's just like
it's an agreement.
They keep calling,
gentleman's agreement.
They keep calling. I keep answering.
Yeah,
it's how we roll.
It's how it goes.
Anyway,
it's how it goes.
Thank you to Netgear, as Stephen mentioned, who've been with us since episode basically two, and to Arlo, who've been with us for a massive part of the journey
many
as well.
Years, yeah,
and we couldn't do it without them because it's a weird thing to say, but I think it's important to say we do this for the money. This is a job.
Yeah.
We love doing
this. This helps put food on the table for our children.
But if we didn't have the support of Netgear and Arlo, it would be hard to turn up every week.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't make no bones about that.
And you know what? It's really good to hear feedback from customers. I love it when in the comments they say, I heard about this on Two Blokes Talking Tech and decide to buy it. They love it.
Yeah. The brands really love it too, folks.
That means a lot. Yeah, that means a lot to us. Yeah, it makes us look good. So, yeah, help us look good.
So the news of the week... And it's been this very interesting drip feed of news from the Foxtel Group, Hubble. Now, let's rewind a bit. Hubble was announced late last year.
Late last year, yeah.
And it was this very broad thing about the a radical new generation of streaming, bringing all your streaming together on one device. And at the time, I'm like, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Because I've got a Fetch, I've got a Google, I've got a Fire TV, I've got all these things that do what you've just told me.
Smart TV, basically, yeah.
But that was announced at what they call their upfronts, which is Foxtel's way of saying, here's all the shows that are coming, and they tease this big thing as well.
Yep.
So between now and then, we've learnt a little bit more. So I pretty much got to confirm that my understanding was that there was going to be this aggregation thing like Optus SubHub, which allows you to involve all your subscriptions together. I had a story on EFTM a couple of months ago about the stack and save concept, which is the idea of SubHub, where the more you've got, the more you save. Yeah. Which is great.
And is it, so that's a good aspect.
So that's what we learned. Yep. And then on Monday of this week, they put out an announcement saying we've got all the big streaming services, which is important. You cannot launch a streaming box without all of the services. And when we say all, that includes Stan. And the reason I single out Stan is because Stan is owned by Nine. Nine is the sworn enemy of News Corp, and News Corp owns the majority of Foxtel. That's the that's the way it's looked at in the marketplace. Yep. Average consumers don't know
any
of that.
Couldn't care less.
Yeah. But if you sold a box that didn't have Netflix or didn't have Disney or didn't have Stan, it wouldn't be complete.
True.
They've got them all.
Yeah. That's big. I think that was important that they had to establish that they got support, and it gives their credit, it gives them credibility that they've got them from launch.
It's going to only now that we are able to talk about this, and there's going to be a lot of stories written about it that people will fully understand, because most of the stuff, even when on Monday when I announced the apps, people are like, I've already got this. What does this do? Like they don't understand that it's a box.
Yeah.
A lot of people thought Hubble.
Or a TV.
A lot of people thought Hubble was a streaming service.
Right, like an app.
That just brought it all together.
Right.
So you open up Hubble and there's all of your streaming services, which in itself is not a bad idea, by the way.
Yep.
And in some ways, that's what it is, but you can only access it on the Hubble puck, little hockey box. Puck style thing.
Yep.
Think of the Telstra TV, the Roku, the Vodafone TV, all the little TV ones over the days.
Looks about the size of Apple TV.
Very thin though, much thinner than an Apple TV.
I was very surprised.
So if you think about ports on the back,
HDMI.
HDMI and antenna.
Yep.
It's only a bit thicker than an antenna cable.
Yeah.
That tells you how thin it is, right? Yeah. So there's that way to get it, which is $99.
Yeah.
And then there are two televisions called Hubble Glass.
Yeah.
One of them is 55 inches, roughly $1,600.
Yep.
The other one is 65 inches, $2,000.
About $2,000,
You can get them at Harvey Norman.
And available in colours too. There's colours.
Yes, multiple.
They look nice too. It's a really nice looking television.
I was shocked that there was variance, to be honest.
And I think the idea behind it is, one of the biggest features, which I'll reveal now, is that they say that it's a service where you can get live TV without an antenna.
Yeah. Which is a massive deal.
And my ears pricked up a little bit because a lot of people are keen on that idea.
Oh, man.
And I think you look back at your rusted on Foxtel customers, cable customers who everything came down the pipe, free to air, Foxtel channels. This, I think, harks back to that a little bit. Where you're all in one place. And you can do that with the IQ5, but you need an aerial. So you got to get actual free-to-air.
And you've got to be a Foxtel customer, which is the defining thing that people are trying to walk away from in many cases because of the cost. Whereas here, they're saying that for one cost of either the box for your existing TV.
One-off purchase for the box or one-off purchase for the television.
You can plug it in to power. Get it on your Wi-Fi network, not need an antenna, though you can plug one in.
Yep.
And out of the box, you will get 7, 9, 10, ABC, SBS, and all the multi-channels that they broadly have on broadcast through the internet. And so I have antenna.
This is genius how they do this.
I have no antenna in my dining room, and we have a TV there with a Google TV built into a Philips.
Yep.
And to watch Channel 9 News at night, I've got to press home. I've got to find the 9 Now app.
Yeah.
And then I know that it's one scroll down and then enter is down to live TV and go.
Yeah.
So it's a few clicks.
Yeah.
With Hubble, it's a remote that I can just say Channel 9. Or it's a few clicks of the remote to just simply go to the EPG, the live TV, and it's there like normal live TV.
That's amazing. Now, my understanding is that they actually extract that live feed from the app.
That's right.
So they've engineered it so that you don't have to do what you just described. It's just there.
That's right.
That is powerful.
It's based on your postcode. So when you set the device up, which, to be clear, we have not done and we will do in the weeks ahead.
Yeah.
When you set the device up, you give it an email address, you set up an account, I guess, and then you tell it your postcode, and that's how they determine which channels you get. Now, to be clear, a question I have not had answered yet is what happens if you're in Newcastle or Wagga, where there is no mainstream broadcast TV from 7 or 9. They are Prime or Win, and I don't believe they have streaming, right? So I don't know what channels you're going to, what content you're going to get there.
Well, what do you get if you're in those areas and you look at the 9 Now app then?
I don't, mate, I don't know.
So but, live, but this whatever's is, live on Channel 9
But this is
point.
Broadly the reason why other aggregators of content have not been able to solve this problem.
Right.
Because the big networks have got to be cautious of their regional affiliates and how the revenue is split among those people.
I see.
This is all about ads.
Right.
And I clarified that this is not an antenna feed coming into Foxtel being converted and sent out to the user.
Yeah.
It is, as you say, plug into the app.
Yeah.
So you'll know that if you're watching 9 Now in the morning on the Today Show, you'll get these ads, which are not the same as what you get on broadcast TV because they're customized to you in your area. They are.
Yeah.
They're all customized.
That's why you need to put your postcode. The postcode is that reason.
But more
as well,
importantly, it's about your use. It's you as a user,
right?
So 9 needs to know who they're serving ads to, and they are able to do that. They've done a deal with Foxtel Group Hubble to somehow do that, and it is a game changer for the broadcast industry.
That's a top line feature too. TV, live TV in an EPG without an antenna,
alongside a bunch of other channels like. Yeah. The Foxtel channels that you would find in Binge.
Let's talk about that. So Binge, KO Sport, and there's a new
Fox,
Lifestyle.
Flash.
Yeah, Flash and Lifestyle is a brand new one. So basically, nearly every channel on Foxtel, you can access it through either Binge, KO, Flash, or Lifestyle.
There is so much to unpack here. I'm going to lose track. But firstly, on the Lifestyle app, this is interesting and not broadly understood, I think, yet. But Binge is getting worse. Lifestyle is new. So content that currently exists on Binge
has been siphoned over to Lifestyle.
Yes.
Really?
So a couple of thousand hours worth of content.
Really?
Patrick Delaney, I think, described it to me as, and I can't remember the exact, but it was like, home, car, cooking or something like that.
Right.
That stuff stays on Binge or goes, whichever way it is, and the home stuff stays on Lifestyle or goes to Lifestyle.
Okay.
So they've basically broken down Lifestyle into two areas, and a little bit of it is still on Binge, but most of it is now in this Lifestyle app, which is $6 a month.
And you're getting – so you got the choice of obviously on-demand stuff, but also live, the channels that you'd normally be watching on Foxtel.
That's right.
Right? So that's why I'm thinking – and I get a lot of people thinking, you know what, Foxtel, I'm not real happy with it. I want to change. A lot of people still haven't recovered from not having live TV. They couldn't be bothered getting an aerial.
Yeah.
So I reckon this plays right to that sort of customer who is wanting to still have the experience of Foxtel, but – realizing there's more to life than Foxtel. There's Netflix, Disney Plus, Paramount Plus, Prime Video, you name it, it's all going to be there. And the fact that I remember in the lead up to this, you were saying, you were talking about, there's why couldn't this just be an app? Why couldn't it be just
if
on
it's
your
about,
television?
If it's about paid aggregation style.
But I think it needed the power of a product, the power of the box, power of the television. For the processing power of the behind
maybe
this, there's a lot of computing going on behind the scenes bringing that aggregation and I really liked that the voice integration was really good. You can ask for various things. I asked about like Foxtel customers, my mum included. My mum still records everything. I said, what
this
about
is
recording?
Fascinating.
Recording?
This is fascinating.
So now you can put stuff on a watch list.
Yes.
So if it's say like my mum likes to record a show on Channel 10. And she can put that show on a watch list and then go back and grab it on demand.
Yes.
When you need. So it's like recording, eh?
And so what they're doing there is they're saying to people, we know that you loved your Foxtel IQ and you might be wanting to leave us, but hey, why don't you consider this? And if your mum or other people have these shows that they always have in that queue of download of recordings, well, the watch list is a queue of products,
exactly
of shows.
Same. Yeah, it looks the same.
You don't know that it's not on the box. It's just when you press the button, you're getting it from the cloud.
In, like
but it's super And I, mate, full credit, I told Patrick Delaney this. Yeah. He had not converted me, but absolutely convinced me of their vision.
Yeah.
Because I've been a doubter. But I said, so he, for example, let's say you record Wheel of Dealers season 6 episode 5, right? You've recorded it, you put it in your watch list. But that stuff changes. Like goes from 9 now to wherever, it changes locations. They worry about that in the back end for you.
Yeah.
So if it...
It's the same for movies. Remember, they use the movie example where, say, I think the example they used for me was The Fugitive, and 1 month it could be on Prime, a couple of months down the track it could be on Netflix.
If it's in your watch list...
And they'll follow it wherever it is for you.
They'll follow it to where it needs to be.
That's huge.
And here's the other big kicker. You're watching... My wife's watching The Practice right now. Oh. Remember The Practice, the legal show?
Yeah.
Now, it's a bad example because it's all available on whatever streaming platform it is, Disney.
Yep.
But a lot of shows, Wheel of Dealers one actually, it's a weird thing. It's on, some of it's on maybe Prime, some of it's on Nine now. It's all different places. They will fill the gap. So if you start watching season one, episode one, and the first three seasons are on Netflix of this random show you're watching, but the next three seasons are on Nine now, and then the last three seasons are on Disney Plus, you could binge that.
It'll find it.
And it'll just find it where it is. Mate, that...
Yeah, that's powerful.
Full credit, that's powerful.
Yeah, and I think too, and the customer this is aimed at, like say you've got multiple, you know, your family, even mine, like me, Joe, kids, that you can create profiles too for the watch lists as well.
Yes.
That was impressive as well. Like normally on the Foxtel box, it's just you just record something and everyone else has to get their stuff in as well. That was impressive. You can have profiles for the watch list as well.
Yeah.
But it's the level of like my question was, look, if I've got a Google TV and I've signed into Netflix, Disney Plus, I'm seeing all these highlights, all the trending, all this stuff.
So that let's be clear, that stuff I don't think is better on Hubble. Yeah. I think Google TV does a better what's trending, what's good for you, because Hubble is not personalized yet.
Yeah.
Broadly speaking, all of those carousels that you see are either you know, direct trending, feeds of trending or their editorial decisions on what to show you, right?
Yes,
it's not actually personalized to you. But the future is potentially personalized. Yeah. And imagine this. There's a profile for Joe and Steve and Aaron and whatever. So you've got all your profiles. And then it'll actually have a carousel that may in the future, not at launch, say shows for Stephen and Joe.
Yeah.
Shows just for Joe. So because it knows that you actually do these, you watch these shows together, it'll suggest those things. But that's not available at launch, not very personalized at launch. There's no movie buying or renting through the Foxtel pay-per-view at launch. So there are a lot of things that aren't there that I think will make it more powerful. But the most important thing that is there is their aggregation and one billing system.
Yeah.
So now I've said before that Optus's biggest negative is they don't have a lot of services in the true streaming space. I know they've got heaps of services of weird things you've never thought of, but they don't have a true amount of streamers. And Netflix, the last I checked, you couldn't use the extra member account. So you can't have that style of Netflix account with Optus.
Right.
The people at Hubble told me, doesn't matter what account you've got, they will migrate you in a few clicks. You'll be migrated. So when you sign into Hubble, you say, I've got a Netflix account, I've got a Stan account, I've got da-da-da, and it will bring them all together. And then in the screen on the TV, you'll see what you've got, all your streaming services, tick box to turn them on and off, and most importantly, stack and save. So if you've got three services listed, I think you get $5
off. $5 credit.
Four services, you get a $10 credit, and five services, you get a $15 credit.
But are these services, is Netflix and all these other companies involved in it, or is it just mainly their own, like binge KO?
I understand that they are only lacking Stan and Amazon.
Really? So Netflix, Disney Plus, Paramount Plus are all in. Wow.
That's now, they may not all be there on day one.
Right.
But they're very close.
Yeah. I just want to go back to live TV, and that's one big part of the interface is being able to see what's on right now and what's on next.
Yes.
And this is huge if you're a sports fan. I reckon sport, you want to see what's coming up. There's a game, live game on now. You can go back and see another game. What's up next? That I think they did really well. So you can easily see what's on at a glance. You can even choose your own your favourite team, like in the NRL. You can choose the Rabbitohs and see, okay, here's a story, a special about the Rabbitohs. Here's their live game. Here's last week's game, the mini, you know, the little wrap-up of the game. So yeah, the immediacy of you, and I think that's their goal, is for you to less scrolling, more watching, getting to what you want to watch faster.
Yes.
That's kind of the goal of all smart TV operating systems and other interfaces like this. But I think that they did a good job there, where you could easily at a glance see stuff that I'll watch that.
And look, the other at a glance stuff is categories. So whether it's kids or sport, and sport is a great example. And again, this won't be on day one because Stan and Optus need to integrate a bit of information. But you'll be able to open the sport page and see what's on now across Optus Sport, Stan Sport, and KO.
Yeah.
So on a weekend.
And the free to air channel,
too. Stan Sport might have the Super Speed series, the TCR series. Yeah. KO might have NASCAR, and Optus Sport might have an English Premier League. They're all there, on right now, and I get to choose what's on and what I watch.
It's amazing. That's really cool.
Like, that's going to be massive.
It's good. No, I think, and again, the reason why I reckon they have a box, because that needs a bit of power, I think, to get that happening. Yeah, to rely on the TV's processing power to get that happening through an app, through just software, I think was a bit much to ask.
Now, so it should be said that the Hubble Puck, $99, does every single thing that the TV does.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. The TV thing, mate, I can't believe I'm saying these things, but the TV thing is almost genius. Almost.
Yeah.
Now, price-wise, I haven't looked, but I'm telling you, it's an expensive TV. For 55 inches, it's $1,600.
$65,000, $2,000. Yeah, you'd buy a 75-inch TV for two.
Right.
That was my question. I said, look, with the way we're going now, like 65, like the people looking now, entry level are 75.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you can buy the puck. You can buy the box if you want a 75-inch TV, good as gold. And they didn't really confirm or deny that they're looking at larger size glass to suit the market.
The reason they don't need to is because I think they're catering to a market here that maybe aren't the 75 inches.
Yeah.
Now, this thing will be available at Harvey Norman, which is big.
It's a good-looking TV, I'll say again. Nice-looking TV.
The big deal here is that this thing, at that price, forget Harvey Norman.
Yeah.
You buy it from Hubble, Foxtel.
Yeah.
It's delivered. It's unpacked. And it's set up.
Installed,
just not put on the wall.
So white glove service.
And they take away the box.
Yeah, wow.
That's
plug and
wild
play.
It's at $1,600 for a 55-inch TV. See, that caters to the mums and dads and grandparents of the world who just want a telly thing.
They just want a TV.
Mate, they could be handed a remote that's all, it's all set up. They've got their internet.
Yep.
And they'll have to learn where everything is, but they won't miss anything.
No.
This is why I turned to Patrick Delaney, who was sitting behind me kind of spying on the briefing.
Yeah.
It was lovely of him to join. But I turned to him and said, you realise people will leave Foxtel for this.
Yeah.
And I've said this to him before, the churn rate could be problematic.
Yeah.
He's pretty adamant that essentially Foxtel customers of a certain ilk are rusted on and they're not worried about losing them. But there's definitely people who are on the border and will go, fine, I'll get Hubble.
Well, and there's a lot of Foxtel users too. They've promoted this heavily, the fact that once you're in Foxtel, they've got Netflix, Prime, they've got all those services anyway.
Yeah.
So I think my parents was a good example. Now my mum, she's all in Foxtel. That's all she does, free-to-air, all her shows in Foxtel. So she doesn't even use the free-to-air. She doesn't even use the other portions of the television. Mm. She's all in on Foxtel, and that's her world.
Mm.
So if this can provide that or replicate that, that could draw away a Foxtel customer, especially to the fact that you don't need the aerial.
I honestly don't think it'll be your mum, but I think there is a range of customers who it will. Now, let's talk about where it really sits in the market, though, right?
Yeah.
I still believe that for a vast majority of people, Google TV, Chromecast with Google TV is still an unbelievable option.
Absolutely, yeah.
Though, you know, the 4K version is $79 to $99, so the Hubble is competitive in that sense.
Totally, yeah.
And Hubble is definitely offering more because you can get live, easy access to TV.
Yep.
Fetch Mini is normally priced at $150. I suspect they might have to sharpen the pencils on that.
Maybe, yeah.
But Fetch Mini...
Fetch is good reference because I mentioned that. So, Fetch is an interesting comparison here.
Did you mention that to them?
Oh, absolutely. I said, how is this different to, like, well, Fetch is kind of offering the same thing. I said, yeah, kind of, but not. There's things that Fetch can do that we can't and vice versa.
Right.
And so I think, though, it's going to shine a light. I think the Fetch effect could be like MetaQuest 3 after the Apple Vision Pro's been released.
Right.
You know, Vision Pro's out and everyone's going, ooh, look at this. Oh, hang on, we can get this one now and that's already been out for a while.
Yeah, and think
so Fetch, it could have that effect.
So Fetch has the movie store, the movie box.
Which Hubble doesn't.
Doesn't have early on.
Yeah.
I think I think Fetch will follow fast with live TV.
Well, there are features in the pipeline, no doubt. Fetch have got features in the pipeline that will be competitive with the
Hubble. Fetch
is
now owned by Telstra,
yeah,
who are putting it into hundreds of thousands of homes.
Yeah. New box coming out, so, or not? New box, Fetch box coming soon?
I don't think so. But yeah. I think the features that might be currently missing from Fetch could very easily come quickly, is what I would say.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think that Fetch does have a lot of the personalization that this doesn't claim to have. So I think about the latest generation of Fetch's interface and the fact that it will, you know, recommend channels that I've recently used. Now, that's broadly available in Hubble by swiping left instead of right. But I actually think they're very like for like. Fetch is probably just a touch ahead overall, probably because of only things like Movie Store and stuff.
Yeah.
But for a person, if we get a call on the radio from someone that says, I don't have an antenna, but how do I watch TV?
Yeah.
It's Hubble.
Yeah, yeah.
Hubble's the answer.
Or the hard way, watching it through the smart app, the apps on your smart TV. I'm not even going to bother. Logging in and doing it that way is the only other way, unless you want to go through
We will review it. It will come in the couple of weeks ahead. But the critical thing for me is how hard is all of that process? Because it was explained that it was simple, but am I needing to log into 7 Plus and 10 Play and 9 Now?
Yes, you
are. In the setup process?
Yes, you are.
There will be people that just go...
Well, yes, I asked that question and they said, yes, you need to have an account with 9 Now, 7 Plus, 10 Play, all those SBS.
It's going
to
be a long setup process.
So it's going to be, if you want those channels, and look, some people might not want those channels, but I reckon a great number of people who want this will want that live TV free-to-air aspect to it.
Hmm.
So there's going to be a little bit of pain at the start, but long-term gain, you're going to have to have all those accounts ready. And you know how you type in your code from the TV on the app.
Well, see.
So if the setup's easy, QR codes then.
What'll be interesting is if I spend $1,600 on a 55-inch TV and you're bringing it to my home, setting it up, are you doing all that with me?
Well, who knows? We don't know yet, do we?
Because they're mad if they don't. Because people will not follow through with a lot of stuff. And then you'll end up with people seeing way too much. The biggest possible negative here is Google Chromecast with Google TV doesn't really recommend me things that I don't have access to. Often it recommends movies and stuff that I can buy through YouTube, but it's not recommending me streaming services I don't have.
Yeah.
But Hubble is going to show me everything that's trending now.
Yeah.
And it's going to tease me and say, this is trending, this show, The Bear.
So it's going to show. It's going to show even if you're not a Disney Plus subscriber, it's going to have a Disney Plus show.
Yes, because they want you, they want you to go, oh, The Bear, I've heard about that. Click. And then it'll say, click one button and you're signed up.
Signed up. Yeah, right, okay.
That's what they want.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, it's like the old, you know, they're going to show you all that nice stuff is essential stuff that's within the store. You're in the store. Oh, here. It's like, you know, the stuff near the register. Yeah. You know, when you go, oh, look at this. Oh, I might buy that.
Yeah, it's why the milk's down the back, so you walk past everything on the way. Yeah,
you've got to walk past everything. Exactly right, yeah. Interesting.
Oh, look, bottom line, it's super impressive.
Yeah, no, and I'm it's better than I thought it was going to be. Way better than I thought it was going
to
be.
I've been its biggest critic without knowing it. And what I've said to people in heated arguments too, I will wait and reserve my judgment until I see it. I've seen it now. I want to properly set it up and review it. But broadly speaking, it ticks the boxes that they said it would tick. And I now hear and see why Patrick Delaney and the team thought of this way. Now, let's be clear. This is a product that exists in the US and the UK called Glass. Good. It's really just a tweak of that.
Is Comcast the company?
Comcast. But I do think it's been heavily modified for Australia.
Yeah.
And as Patrick points out, the one billing thing, they're doing all that. This is world first.
Absolutely.
And just Subhub do
just
it.
Just a reminder,
Fetch
too,
do it to an extent, it's but this is big.
It's $99, then you pay for your services on top of that.
And?
Yeah, a lot of people, you don't get Netflix for free. You got to pay a subscription for that.
You got to have five
but
services.
But you can stack them and save.
You got to get five services to get $15 off, right?
Yeah.
Now, they've cunningly made Lifestyle a new one.
Yeah.
It's $8. KO, $30. Binge.
So you get a couple
let's
for free.
Let's call it 10. And let's be clear, you don't have to be, it doesn't matter which plan you're on. If you've got the cheapest Netflix plan, it counts as one of the five.
Yep.
But they put up the price of Binge and KO and Lifestyle is new.
Yeah.
They've essentially put up the price by the amount they're going to give you a discount.
Yeah. It's like getting prices go up 20% and they have a 20% sale.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand.
I think.
And that was just recently, too. How long ago was that?
Not long.
A few months ago.
Yeah. The economics and the launching lifestyles, you know, is new, brand new.
Yeah.
The economics of it isn't. The stack and save, I don't know, is true value yet because I think that they need all the services. So when Amazon and Stan are on there, I can stack and save Amazon, Netflix, Stan and as three and just get $5 off.
Yeah.
Now,
is five going to be the maximum?
Five's the maximum to get $15 credit.
Okay.
Now, then I add in KO because I've definitely got that.
Yep.
I've got them all, let's be real. But I'm trying to think of the average Joe. That's $10 off. But I'm now paying $30 for KO, right?
Yeah, because I've never had KO.
Because you've always been sponging off their Foxtel.
Yeah. I've got Foxtel. So I watch all the sport on there. I remember talking to Les was in there, Les Wigan, and I said, man, I've never used Foxtel because I've got Foxtel. I don't need KO Sports. I've got Foxtel. And, yeah, I've got three boxes at home. I've got Foxtel wherever I want it to. Foxtel Sport, Fox Sports, wherever I need it.
He's an old man. He's a Foxtel customer.
Yeah, but I have free to air through it.
KO, for me, and I say this to Les as well, KO is a game changer for how content is presented to me. And this is why Hubble has a long way to improve. It needs to be personalized to the user.
Yeah.
Because when I launch KO, what I see, if you had an account, would be remarkably different to what you see.
Yeah.
Most people today would have had to scroll 16 times to find the Xfinity Series NASCAR race.
Yeah.
But it was the first thing on my page because it knew I love motorsport. It was the only thing on.
Yeah.
You tell KO what your team is, what your sports are, and it just gives you that.
So within Hubble, it'll do that?
No.
What?
No, because Hubble is not personalized.
Not yet.
No, and I think it's a long way off.
Really? Jeez. Yeah. Okay. Is that a deal breaker or what?
I don't think it's a deal breaker because live TV gets you over the edge. I'm going to use the KO app every day of the week.
Right. Through Hubble or how you do it now on your
television. How I do it now, yeah.
On your TV.
Yep.
Okay.
I think it's a better experience.
Right.
Yeah.
But then is that not is there a bundling option?
That's the thing. Putting all those services together, I'm not sure I need them all, and I think I'm actually paying more to have the discount. That's why the economics of it. Someone smart will do the economics of it, whether it really works out for someone.
Yeah, right.
But for me, I think there's a concern, as I think about it, that there's too much on the screen because you see everything, not just what you have.
Well, isn't the idea to get to content? Yeah, you don't want to get overwhelmed.
In the kids button, right, you go to kids.
Yeah.
Your kids are going to see what's on Disney Plus next to what's on Binge, next to what's on ABC iView.
Yeah.
They're going to say, Dad, why can't I watch that? I don't have that, son.
Don't have it.
Click the button. Get it.
Yeah. It's going to be Pester Power.
So
Pester Power on Hubble.
Is it overwhelming? Is there too much content?
Okay. Is that, wow. I didn't even think
like
that
bringing
would be
back
a problem.
The TV guide and going, what are you going to watch tonight? I don't know. There's
too much. Yeah.
Do you remember when Foxtel first came out in the magazine?
It was like, each day was like four pages.
What are you doing here? What am I going to watch?
Yeah, I do remember that.
It's overwhelming.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
I think that could be its problem.
Yeah. But I think the old feeling, the narcs would say, look, all those channels are still, there's still nothing to watch.
Yeah.
You want to be able to think, oh, I want to watch that. I want to watch that. Have a look at this. Boom.
But then, and then
that's the old goal.
Let me give you another positive then.
Yeah.
Come back to the basics. For $99, if you've got a room, we got a TV with no antenna, $99 and you don't have to pay another cent and you can get all the free to-air channels.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's good.
You've had an antenna installed
for
$99, except it's on the internet.
Yeah, that's true. Exactly right.
At its bare-bone basics.
True, yeah. And a lot of people, they not having – I remember when the Foxtel ended their cable. Remember they cut off the cable customers? And the panic was on. Oh, hang on, how am I going to get my free wear? I've got to get
an antenna, you idiot. Wow. What are you talking about?
Mate, I answered like 500 calls like that on 2GB in the lead-up to that. And I think antenna installers. There was
the real antenna gate.
It was a boom in sales that period. Let me tell you.
Anyway, we're obviously big fans, and I think that's absolutely fine. Give us a couple of weeks to properly review it and look into it, and you'll have our full sentiments. We'll discuss it again, maybe not in this much detail, but we'll discuss the pros and cons.
Once we've done it.
And I'm not going to pump out a review on the day of anything, but I want to use it for a month. I want to really use it, and then we'll give you our pros and cons of Foxtel's Hubble. Notice they don't say Foxtel anywhere anymore. They basically want to become Hubble, the company.
Hubble.
Which is fine. Good luck to them. Two Blokes Talking Tech.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech.
Two Blokes Talking Tech is proudly brought to you by Arlo, and Arlo is all about protecting the things you love through their great products, their doorbells, their cameras, their floodlights. Is all there for you. If you want to have a bit more peace of mind, you want to maybe increase your privacy, it's a good, really, really good process. It's very easy to set up. So the products can connect to your Wi-Fi. So you are literally up and running in minutes. I think I installed an essential and it took me, I think, 7 minutes to from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
Doorbell, same speed as well. And there are ranges of products. Like the essentials are good quality, but they also have 2K and 4K cameras as well, if you want that added amount of detail. But the thing about it too is that it's one thing to have your cameras, but also you need to have your notifications. And with Arlo, if you do subscribe to Arlo Smart, you do get their smart notifications. So you're able to get notifications for people, parcels, animals, vehicles. Yeah. It filters out all those unnecessary.
An unbelievable experience to be able to get the right notifications at the right time.
And it's really handy having those plans because it stores what up to 30 days in the cloud, so you can look back on if there's something you want to look back on from up to a month ago, you're able to do that. And look, you can commit, no need for, if you want to go month to month, you want to sign up for a year, that's entirely up to you, but it does give you those added features, so it does pay to sort of pay those extra few bucks a month if you want to have that kind of convenience. And as I said, they've got the camera range, the doorbell range, and the floodlight range, I reckon, underrated section of their portfolio.
Oh, mate, they don't talk about themselves enough.
The floodlights. And I do love the fact that I can light up my front yard.
Like the MCG.
Dead set. I could shoot a Hollywood movie in my front yard with that floodlight. It's awesome. Even the doorbell, too. The doorbell gives you like a 1-to-1, 180 degrees. You're able to see the person head to toe, which is really important. Talk to them like you're making a phone call. The two-way audio through all their cameras, by the way, is really high quality, and that's important. You want to check out their range? Do yourself a favor, head over to arlo.com.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech with Trevor Long and Stephen Fennec.
Some feedback I've had about the video version of the show. And by the way,
there's feedback on the video version?
I don't want feedback, proper feedback. I don't want actually constructive feedback. But I do need to know if you're watching the video on Spotify.
Okay.
I need to know because I've got to be honest, it adds 6 hours to the process of making this happen. I'm not going to lie. It's painful.
Yeah.
And
so the choice on Pod Spotify is the audio version?
It just automatically comes up with video and when you watch it.
Right.
But who's actually doing that?
Right.
Who's really watching the video? Because if you're just listening.
Basically, Trevor wants to know that if it's worth his time to do that.
Oh, mate. Yeah. Honestly,
why is it so hard? It's just
because I can't put the audio one up. Because what the platform does is they suck the audio out of the video. Video takes so long to upload and then process.
Wow.
Honestly, I don't think it's worth it. So I'm prepared to not do video on Spotify but have the video on YouTube, because I think if you really want the video, just go to YouTube.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm weighing that up. But anyway, the reason I raise that is because we're doing this video thing, and one of the feedback I got was you should run I'm putting a voice on for the person. You should run an overlay of what you're talking about so we can see it. I'm like, good luck to you. If you want to come work here for free, you can do the overlay. I'm not doing that, okay?
Yeah.
But missed opportunity.
We could hold up products.
Missed opportunity, Asus, because 2 hours ago, a courier came to the front door
and
took the
Asus
ZenBook Duo.
Breaking news. It's in the front seat of my car.
What?
Should I bring it right now?
No.
Should I go get it? I've got it here. It's sitting in the front seat of my car.
That's funny.
Yeah. Because you know why? I took it to 2GB on Monday night, and I thought that was one of my topics. That I'm going to bring it in and show it to you.
Yeah,
because it's impressive.
I would normally say, yeah, go get it, but just watching you put your headphones back in, it's a hard no from me. Anyway, if you want to see photos,
you can't hit pause.
You want to see photos of the product we're about to tell you?
Yeah,
about.
We've both done videos on it.
Techguide.com.au, EFTM.com. Search the socials, you'll find it. But this device,
go to our websites.
Saw it at CES, and I was impressed from the minute I saw it, because it's one of those things. I've seen Lenovo and Asus do these weird multi-screen things over many, many years, and none of them have felt useful. Like, they've all been amazing and innovative, but when am I going to use it in everyday life?
Yeah.
Then you get this bloody Asus thing, and it looks just like a normal laptop.
Yeah.
And then you go, whoosh, and you peel off the keyboard.
Yeah.
That's how I've been describing it this way. Yeah. You peel off the keyboard.
And then, boom, there's another screen.
You put the keyboard down
there.
In front of you. It works wirelessly instantly.
Yep.
There's another screen, but it's not the screen that impresses me most. It's the thought that's gone into how you use it. Then you go like this. You go, oh, I'll lift it up. I'll pull out the kickstand.
Yep.
And the thing automatically sits at a usable height.
What I like too is that you can choose to have the desk. So if you those two screens, you can combine them into one if you want to have that. You can also then choose to have desktop mode where you've got two landscape screens or two portrait screens.
Yeah.
For some people, their workflow, it might suit them to have two portrait screens. They might be working on like some big long document here, another big data sheet here, and it's just easier to go back and forth.
Yeah.
Others prefer landscape. They might be editing content, creating content, watching things. So it really does give you the choice. You're not limited to that choice. The thing with this too, the whole concept of a laptop turning into a desktop computer, we saw that first of all with the very first generation of foldable laptops.
Yeah.
The folders. Remember the Spectre and what was the other one? Lenovo.
The Yoga.
And Asus, I think, had one. Not Asus. Did they have a foldable? Yeah, Asus had a foldable as well. The thing with those is that they were really expensive. You're getting that benefit, but because it's brand new foldable screens, foldable technology, you're literally paying more than double what the ZenBook Duo offers you today.
So, and the ZenBook Duo is expensive. It's a $3,999 product.
I'll challenge that it's been expensive. It is, I reckon, value. You're getting two screens and it's pretty powerful.
I'm just saying, when you say something is $4,000, that's expensive, right? That's an expensive product. But as you say, write down, forget the dual screen for a minute.
Yeah.
Forget the dual screen and just write down the specs, right? The processor, the RAM, the power and everything. And then just OLED screen. And it's priced well, but probably just a touch OLED too much, screen. Right?
3K resolution, yeah.
Then you throw in the extra screen and you go, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Because you think about an espresso display, which is unbelievable, great quality,
thin,
easily comes in your laptop bag. You know, you're talking about a decent investment there. So maybe it's that extra cost built into the device.
Yeah, I think that it was very intelligently priced, I'll say.
Yeah.
You buy a MacBook Pro, it's going to cost you more than that.
Oh, for sure.
You only get one screen, and it's not even a touchscreen.
Nope.
So here are two touchscreens. And that Bluetooth keyboard is a wonder. That's really thin. You can use it separately. It charges itself when it's sitting magnetically on the laptop.
Yep.
It's got its own USB-C charging port. You notice that if you're running a bit low, you can keep that charged. But I never once had to charge the keyboard because whenever it was connected, it was charging.
Yeah, and every time I folded away the laptop, I kept it in. You don't have to put the keyboard in there when you fold it away.
Yeah.
You'd be mad not to.
Yeah. And even,
doesn't make sense.
Even when it's closed up, I think it's 1.95 centimeters thick, and outwardly looks like a normal laptop. Doesn't look any, even when you open it up in laptop mode, it's a laptop.
Mm.
And then when you pop off that screen, then that's when the magic happens.
Yeah, it's
right?
Wild.
But it's pretty competitive in terms of the technology, in pricing competitive, but the technology, I think you're going to see a lot of other companies think, hey, that's a great idea.
I think
we're going to be seeing more of them. Yeah.
But convertible used to be the term they gave to the fold-up ones and stuff like that. I feel like this is the new convertible.
Definitely.
And I think companies will look at that. Apple will not. Let's be clear. Apple will not look at this. No. But I think Lenovo, Dell, and HP have to look at this and go, actually, they've found a way to do this. Because there's others that do this whole weird thing where screens come out and all that kind of stuff. They're big, they're chunky, they're bulky. This thing... Yeah.
This was literally smartly
is not big.
Yeah. And another mode I like was share mode. So you can actually... The hinge on the ZenBook Duo, you can actually... It's 180 degrees. You can fold it flat. And I love the fact that, say, you and I are talking here and I want to show you something... I can lay it out flat and I can reflect what's on my screen for you to view your way around. So you're over there. So say you're doing a presentation or you've got to look at a document. Rather than all huddling around one little screen, you can just spread it out.
Yeah.
People sit either side of the table. Very smartly done.
Very cool stuff from Asus, the ZenBook Duo, $3,999, and spec it as you like.
Yep.
Details, review, techguide.com.au. And EFTM.com.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech with Trevor Long and Stephen Fenech.
Now, would you believe it's months away? I think, what is it, seven, 8 months away? The iPhone 16.
March, April, May, June, July, August, September. 7 months.
And rumors are flying already about the iPhone 16.
Because people need clicks.
Yeah, the iPhone 16 Pro. The latest rumor I heard was new color options. So you know how last year the 15 was the titanium? So titanium, was it, what was the one, was it natural?
Natural titanium.
And there was titanium blue and titanium black. And the new colors apparently is desert titanium.
What?
And
is that yellow?
Titanium grey, yeah. Sort of not quite rose gold, but sort of
yellowy
gold.
Why are we talking about iPhone colours?
Well, this is just the latest rumours, and I think it's probably worth there's been a lot of rumours flying around already about the 16.
Is this on
MacRumors.com?
Yeah, it is, yeah. What a shock.
Always there. But the biggest rumour is larger screens. So not larger devices, so thinner bezels, larger screens. So
I think
6.3, 6.9 for the Pro. Would you still use that, a big phone?
I'm not averse to keeping this size.
So you have
I'm
been
still on the
Max. What's wrong with you?
I love the
camera,
5x
zoom. Yeah, there you go, see. I knew they'd get you in the end.
They got me.
They got you.
I hear. There's going to be another button.
Another button?
Mm-hmm.
Where is the button?
Below what we affectionately call the power button, but this button here, the side button.
Yeah.
Down further.
So what would that be, like a Siri button?
Camera.
Oh, that makes sense.
Remember Sony used to have that?
Why didn't they think of that 15 years ago?
Because Sony
14
did.
Years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember the Xperia had it.
There's also talk, I believe, of vertical cameras on the standard iPhones. Because
so instead of what is
because,
it now?
Because the diagonal,
yeah.
So the diagonal on your 15 and 15 plus,
yeah.
I think it's to do with spatial photos. You know, when you're doing your 3D photos,
I
wonder if the offset angle of them makes it difficult for them to do.
So they need to be lined up. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, and
my source is inside Apple Park.
What about on the camera side?
Would you love
side?
To have sources inside Apple
yeah.
Park?
Who says I haven't?
You don't.
Who says I haven't?
Who says he hasn't? Because he's on MacRumors.com.
Who says I haven't? Yeah. The camera 48 megapixel ultra wide lens.
What's that email from? Tim Cook. Wow.
Yeah, tcook@apple.com.
I reckon that'll be the end of him.
Yeah.
He's leaking
g'day,
stuff
Tim.
To you.
I went, g'day, Tim. How they hanging?
Don't leak
how's
to Stephen. That's definitely not what you'd say.
Tim and I will love that.
Are you allowed to say that anymore?
We'll get him on the podcast one day, won't we? Mate, we ask every year.
13 years.
13. Come on, mate. Come on.
Who else? And I genuinely want to know this.
He's still the third bloke talking tech.
Other than Leo Laporte.
Yeah.
Who else has been doing this long?
I don't know.
Consistently.
Yeah, I don't know. In tech, you mean, or in general?
Tech.
Yeah, I can't.
Like, if you're going to go to the longest running podcast in the world,
yeah.
Obviously it's not us.
We'd be in the top 10.
But we'd have to be
we'd
high,
be in the
wouldn't
top 100.
It's definitely top 100.
Top 100 or something.
Top 100 tech, definitely.
Oh,
I reckon
yeah.
top 50, top 20 tech.
Yeah.
No?
Well, no, I agree. I think so. Yeah.
I will pay someone to do that research.
How many other tech podcasts do you listen to?
None.
That you know of that have been around for that long?
No, none.
Is Leo Laporte still around? Is he still doing his podcast?
Yeah.
So there's one.
I'm going to give it to This Week in Tech. I'm pretty sure Leo's
twit
winner on that because I was listening to that before I even was in tech.
There you have it. That's what inspired you to get into tech, wasn't it? Or was that me?
It was reading
the Daily Telegraph.
Yeah,
That's right. Yes. I remember that you told me that one time. First time we met, you were telling me about your BMW you used to own. Or you still had it at
that time.
Did you
have
that time? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You were Trevor was a high roller back then. Was that were you at a 2GB or SBS by then?
2GB.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. When are we talking about?
This is about 2008, 2009.
Well, eight. I left 2GB in 2008.
There you go. See? His high paid job at SBS. He teddied up with the BMW.
I had the BMW I got the BMW on July 1, the year 2000.
Ah.
When the GST came
July,
in.
July 1, 2000.
Right. I got rid of one car and got the BMW.
Right.
And then.
What was the other car?
It was a Mitsubishi Lancer.
Okay. Big jump.
Big jump.
Doing very well.
And then I came to Sydney in early 2001. And
oh, where were this? Were you in Perth?
I was in Perth. I got the BMW.
Man.
And then
drive it across country
and upgraded to the new model.
Oh.
because they changed the headlights and the taillights, and it just frustrated me so much that I had the old model.
He had to have it.
So bad.
Yeah, had to have it. Trevor's obsessive personality going in there.
Anyway, have you finished talking about iPhones?
I think so, yeah.
All right, two blokes talking rubbish.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech.
How's this been going on for 13 years?
How have we been getting away with this for 13 years? Is that what
we are getting away with it, really, aren't we?
Away with it, yeah.
It's because of good people like Netgear. Netgear.com.au if you want the greatest in Wi-Fi, the best offers, the best Wi-Fi, elite performance, irresistible style, unbeatable offer. Save $400 right now on the Orbi 960 Black Edition 3-Pack. Did you think I wasn't reading that?
Yeah, I'm thinking, well, you've got to be reading that.
Yeah, I'm on their website. I'm on netgear.com.au right
Absolutely,
now.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's where I get all my good information.
Absolutely.
Finding the perfect Orbi is easy. With a few simple questions, you can discover the right speed, coverage, and Wi-Fi technology for your needs. Yeah, and there's great choice from Netgear. Yeah. And a mesh system is what you need for the best Wi-Fi. As I've been saying...
Have not recommended that to a person who didn't love it.
Yes. And as I've been saying, unscripted for 10 years or however long Orbi's been around, I've been saying it creates a dome of Wi-Fi over your home.
Did they take that from you?
I can't believe that's not on their website.
Is that you that came up with that, or was that their term?
Well, dome of Wi-Fi. It's not written anywhere here.
I think it used to be. I think you took it from Netgear.
No, there's no way.
You reckon you came up with dome? Is that in your vocabulary?
Orbi.
Dome? Is that in your vocabulary?
How rude are you? Dome of Wi-Fi over your home. I'm Googling it.
Long EFTM, is that what it says?
Oh, first result. First result. Hey, EFTM.com.
That's
unbelievable. Boom. What I like to call a dome of what? That's unbelievable.
Wow.
Mate, no one else says dome. It's me. It's only me that says dome. How do you make Google searches do like you've got to include this word? Like it's an.
You just did it, did you?
No, but I want to see the word dome like in other people's reviews. Bullet dome, network cameras. No, this is, mate, I'm the only one that says it on the internet. I'm the only one that says it.
I'm going to see if it comes up on my stories.
Mate, there's no way you say that. This is me. I'm telling you. I've nailed it. I'm a marketing genius. And look at Netgear, going from strength to strength. I mean, it's probably due to their amazing marketing manager. Hi, Heidi. We love you.
Yeah.
Shout out to Patrick, who's, I believe, stepping down as CEO.
Is he really?
Retiring.
I don't want to go off early.
Okay.
But shout out. He's been on the Tech Guide podcast a number of times.
Yeah. Absolute and bloody EFTM, legend. EFTM yeah, well, your tech life probably back
your
in the
tech
day.
Life.
So many iterations.
Absolutely.
Anyway, you asked the question. The answer is we keep doing this because of great people like Netgear and Arlo. But Netgear, for all your home networking needs, netgear.com.au.
Everything about tech you never wanted to know. This is Two Blokes Talking Tech.
Android 15 developer preview is out now on Pixel devices and no one cares.
So, just on Pixel. That's it.
I don't know.
Which Pixel?
Any Pixel.
I have to read about it.
It's on your website, so you should know, shouldn't you?
Daniel's very excited. Daniel and Scott care.
Yeah.
So but this is
look. I'm being facetious. Is that the right word?
Yeah.
Okay. Because
won't be official till it's the new Pixel comes out in October.
That's right. But if you're in the whole game, you can muck around with it.
So you can. It's like the beta program on iOS.
Exactly.
Is that right?
Exactly.
Let me bring it to terms that you understand. Right. Beta on iOS. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
But here's the thing, and the reason I am so fickle and facetious about these things,
Yeah.
Trevor Long, EFTM.com, is because I get that this is a big deal to people like Scott and Daniel who write for EFTM are massive Android fans. Good, excellent. That's great. But the problem that Android has is they can't get the attention over a developer preview like this that Apple can, because forget the developer preview part, because there's a timeline, right, where they go, developer preview is February, March. The beta releases come out in April. So April through July, the beta is available on Pixel devices.
And I can understand why it's just Pixel, because that's Android's device.
It's the like only Apple, one that Google can control.
It's what Apple can Apple can do it so well, because they control the iPhone.
If you're a Samsung
Pixel
user.
Pixel 6, 7 or 8, by the way.
If you're a Samsung user, you can't muck around with this easily. I'm sure you can, because you can root devices and all this stuff. That's a technical term.
Whatever tickles your fancy.
That's a technical term. USB-C, it's
interoperability. I'm just going off to root some devices, honey. Won't be long. That's amazing.
I'd like to see you do that live on the podcast. Can you root a device for
us,
please?
I'm more micro USB than USB-C.
Okay. I see where you're going with that. But, yeah, just for your information, it's Pixel 6,
I understand you're lightning.
Yeah. Whee. Yes, I am lightning, baby.
Quick. Yeah, lightning is quick. Mate, quick and devastating.
That's my wife's nickname for me, actually, lightning. Quick. Well, that's not probably the best. That's not the best nickname, lightning. That means suggests really fast and, you know, boom, boom, in and out. In and out, bang, oh, one and done. That's not the best.
Who's thunder?
That's not the best.
Because thunder always comes after lightning.
Some of your best, mate.
That's a line he's from Cars movie.
There you go. Jesus, he's quoting movies now, this bloke. That's great. Thunder comes after lightning.
Yeah, because Lightning McQueen has the lightning bolts.
Yeah.
So he comes back to the next race, and Chick Hicks is like, you know, ka-chigga, ka-chigga, and he's got the thunder.
Yep.
And lightning, wow. And he says, you know, what do you call yourself, thunder? And he goes, because thunder always comes after lightning. It's a solid burn.
Yeah, that is a solid, very solid burn.
I can't go on.
Yeah.
I'm not going to
lie. We
actually
covered that on the movie podcast. Was that in the original Cars movie, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Float like a Trevor. Cadillac, sting like a Beamer.
Yeah. Trevor's officially lost it. Yeah.
It's 13 years. I mean,
13 years. Give us a break.
It's remarkable we've got this far.
We've not had a break, have we? We've never had a break.
Could do with one.
Of the show.
I'm looking forward to your holiday later this year.
Not as much as me.
What are we? Have we talked about that?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, we're going to be in Europe, mate.
No, because you are taking a holiday.
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
Hang on.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to have guest blokes?
I don't know.
You need to think about that.
Have we discussed
that? We've not. I'm just raising it now because we've talked about other content issues that we will have, and I've offered my support and assistance to you in any way I can for your website.
Yeah, mate. Whatever needs. We have to have some discussions because I'm going to be away for six weeks.
I've got a couple of names.
They've got to be approved by me.
Yeah, I've got a couple of names that you'll definitely veto.
Final approval would be me. Yeah.
Just track the red line. I'd be like, here, what about this one? And you'd be like,
yeah. Yeah, good. Yeah.
There's a couple of names that I'd put a line through as well.
Yeah.
And which is obviously part of the reason why it's amazing that he's still here, because I put some line through some names over the years.
Certainly. I've got the staying power, mate. Staying power I've got. Yeah.
Oh, God. I can't. It's so funny.
13 years of this. Amazing.
It's amazing. I'd like your suggestions, folks. Long, eh? I'd like your suggestions.
Suggestions for what?
Guest blokes.
Guest blokes. You mean like people in the industry, you mean? Or not other journos, you mean? Like people in the industry.
I can't think of any other journos,
well,
to
mate,
be honest.
All you got to line up is like five shows.
Guest
maybe.
Blokes.
Right. Like, I reckon get guys from the industry.
Who?
Yeah. Oh, you know, maybe get Brad Little from Netgear, get him on a show. Get maybe
what are we talking about
Scott
for an hour?
Lawson from Fetch.
Right, Scott. So you're suggesting I do in-depth interviews.
Well, two blokes talking tech. It's just a different bloke. Or we can make an exception. Bloke and one girl talking tech. Maybe
weird.
get someone, you know, from the industry. I've got some ideas.
All right. No, yeah. I don't mind the idea.
I reckon that'd be good. Yeah. It's just a suggestion.
All right.
As a 50% shareholder, I think, you know, I should have a say. Don't you reckon, mate?
Again, there's no contract.
Are we 50% or not?
There's no contract.
51-49, I don't know.
You know, it's funny. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. No, we've been.
No, but here's.
This is down the middle.
This is the. No,
we've
no,
not
no.
signed a piece of paper or
no,
anything.
No, but you know what's hilarious about our business model?
Yeah.
I've no idea what you charge.
You mean for
this show.
Podcast? Solid money, mate.
Yeah, I don't know.
Look at the quality. No, I'm just. Market value since
I'm just saying because this one's been going for 13 years. We've just been doing whatever we do.
Yeah.
Whereas all the new ones we've created, we've pitched and propped and everything together.
Yeah, we know how much that they're generating. But this one has just been you got a sponsor, I get a sponsor.
And you know what? I'll be completely honest with you, right? I'll be completely honest with you and the audience.
Yep.
I'm Netgear is my sponsor.
Yep.
Right?
And Arlo is mine.
I charge Netgear the same amount as I do today that I did 13 years ago.
Same. Well, Arlo has not changed since they've been involved. And Netgear is a sponsor of the Tech Guy podcast.
Yeah. Which is why.
They sponsor my Tech Guy podcast. And again, same. They've
Isn't
been a sponsor since the first episode of Tech Guy, and that's 5
Pick and stick, folks.
Yeah.
Pick
and I've charged them the same from 12 years ago, Tech Guy to
today. I'll tell you why I do that. and you tell me whether it's a similar thing.
Geez, you want to? You don't want to
fly
lose them.
Under the radar,
keep
mate.
Them. You want to keep them. That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anything that goes up appears on a spreadsheet as up.
Yeah. We pick and stick. That's the
we thing. Pick and stick, yeah. And we pick you. So yes. Please stick
and
with just, us.
And yeah, a lot of people have picked us and stuck with us. So
no,
we appreciate that so much. 13 years.
Can't wait to come up with a list of other blokes. Now this is gonna be great.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I just wrote that note. Just got to cross that one out straight away.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading.
Thank you.
Thanks and for watching.
Thanks for watching.
Private feed link is on YouTube. Honestly, I don't know why I'm doing that. Not enough of you are watching it.
Come on.
Like, if you're listening to this in the car, you can't tell me that on a Friday night after the footy, everyone's gone to bed.
Yeah.
Open up.
Want to have a laugh.
Open up the app.
Because private is so, it's non-tech. It's us just making idiots of ourselves.
Yeah.
Talking about a lot of stuff we would never mention on the tech podcast. It's very much about our lives, our families, our experiences. Lot of things, a lot of info that you get about the two blokes, and it's explicit too, so we get a bit loose, especially Trevor, potty mouth.
Me? I don't think so.
Yeah.
All right, Stephen, see you next week.
See you, mate.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech.